Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the cross. Praise the cross.
Amen, amen, amen. Rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to rejoice in the Lord this afternoon. Hallelujah. We're going to give praise and honor to him today. This has been a hard day for me, but it's not about me. Amen. So continue to keep my family lifted in prayer as we continue to do the work of the Lord. So we're going to come this evening and we're going to give praise and honor to the Lord, thanking him for everything that he has done, everything he's going to do, and everything that he has done in our life. Hallelujah. So we ought to give praise and honor to him over all situations. Amen. So before we get into the word tonight, we're going to go ahead on and pray. And I ask that everybody stand to their feet, those that are listening over Blog Talk Radio. I know that you are at home, but if you're listening, I know that distractions can cause you to pull away from really listening to the word. You might listen to every other word that's being mentioned. But if you can and you at home and you listening to Blog Talk Radio, stand to your feet. And any distractions or any noise that's going on, put a cease to it, amen, because tonight we're going to give our focus and our attention to the Lord Almighty God, amen. So we're going to go ahead on that. We're going to go in with prayer, thanking the Lord. Father God, we just thank you tonight, Lord God. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Lord God. We thank you for mighty change, Father God. Father, we ask that you continue, Lord God, to use us, each and every one of us, mightily, Lord God, to continue to do your work, Lord God, and to give to your people, Father God. Father, we ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you hear our petition tonight, Lord God, that we're coming before you, Lord. Father, even if it's those that's listening over Blog Talk Radio, those that's here in the sanctuary, Lord, Lord. We asking you right now, Lord, we giving you this petition, Lord God, to mend our hearts, Lord God, Lord, to heal our body, Father God. Father, just to be a counselor, Lord God, in our life, Lord. Father, we need you right now, Lord God. Father, we are here on guard, dear Lane, Lord God, and we asking, Lord God, that you heal somebody, Lord God, that they get delivered, Lord God, and know who you are, Father God. For tomorrow is not promised to none of us, Lord God. Father, we live today like it is our last, Father God. And Father, we come to you tonight, Lord God, asking you, Lord God, that your word be a blessing to each and every person that's under the sound of Salvation in Jesus Ministry, those that are listening over Blog Talk Radio, Lord God. We ask that your word pierce every heart, Lord God. Lord, let that conviction set in, Lord God. But Father, when conviction set in, Lord God, let the abundance of you, Lord God, rise up in the individual, Father God. Father, we just thank you and we praise your mighty name, Lord God. Father, we thank you for those that are on their way, Lord God, that they have a safe journey here, Lord God. And Lord, when we leaving to go home, Lord God, that you protect us as we get to our home. Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord God. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our life, Lord God. We ask that you continue to mend our hearts, Lord God, heal our hearts, Father God. And Father, as we grieve and we mourn, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for just being you, hallelujah. We thank you for just being you. Hallelujah. Just being you, hallelujah. Just loving us, hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and we just praise your mighty name, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you love us first. Hallelujah. Father, we love you, Lord God. And Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord God, expecting to receive an abundance of your word, Lord God. Father, we ask that you decrease the minister, Lord God, and increase your word in the minister. Hallelujah. Father, we ask that you continue to do the work, Lord God. Father, that we know that tragedy has hit Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and other surrounding areas, Lord God. But Father, we know that you have a plan, Father God. And Father, your plan is not to be questioned. Hallelujah. And Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord God, forgetting the situation, Lord God, forgetting the trials, forgetting the tribulations, Lord God, and just focusing ourselves to you tonight, Lord God. We asking you, Lord God, to heal us, Lord God, to deliver us, Lord God. What, Father God, to make a change in each and every heart, Lord God. Father, and make a clean heart, Lord God, out of us, Lord God. Father, we just thank you and we just praise your mighty name tonight, Lord God. Father, and we love you, Lord God. Father, no words can tell you that we love you, Father God. But Father, we are here tonight, Lord God, giving praise and honor to you, the Almighty God. And we thank you every day, Lord God. Every day that we wake up, Lord God, we want to thank you, Lord God, for waking us up, Lord God. Lord, we want to thank you for just having us to even be able to walk this walk that we walk in. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise your mighty name tonight, Lord God. Father, in the midst of all, Lord God, we praise and lift your name up high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we give praise and honor to the Lord, we're going to rejoice. Hallelujah. We're going to give praise unto him tonight. Just thank him for what he is doing. That there's no chains, hallelujah, that will stop you from praising the Almighty God. Hallelujah. How many of y'all are free tonight? Amen. Praise him like there's no chains on you. Hallelujah.
You are free. Hallelujah.
And there ain't no chains on me. No chains on me.
Tonight, hallelujah. All you're free tonight. Hallelujah. I know that sometimes Satan feel like he want to carry a bondage on us so that we won't think anymore, so that we don't live anymore. But we rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You cannot take over our feelings. Hallelujah. You cannot take over our joy. Hallelujah. You cannot steal what God has placed in us. Hallelujah. We rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Father, as we worship our time unto you tonight, Lord God, we just thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship him tonight. Worship him tonight. Worship him tonight.
My labor in your
sight. Lord, hear our humble cry.
Hear my heart cry.
Desperately
way.
Just to be where you are.
Be where you are.
Say, across the hardest floor.
Across the hardest desert.
Travel near or far.
Travel near or far.
For your glory.
For your glory.
Come on, just say, I will do anything.
I will do anything.
Just to see you, I Lord. To behold you as my
true. To behold you as
for
my
your glory. Glory.
Glory.
I will do anything.
I will
yes,
do
I will.
Anything.
Just find favor in your
favor in
your
heart,
please.
Please
hear my humble cry. Desperately
wait. Hallelujah. My God, my God, we want to be where you are, Lord God. Father, as we petition it tonight, Lord God, we want to be where you are. Hallelujah. We got to be where you are, Lord God. Father, and we ask you right now, Lord God, to help us, Lord God, to be where you want us to be. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. As I come before your people, Lord God, just thanking you, Lord God, for using me. Hallelujah. Father, I ask that you decrease me, Lord God. Decrease flesh, Lord God. And Father, I ask that you increase you. Hallelujah.
Father God, I ask that you manifest through this word, Lord God, as you have given me to give to your people, Lord God. And Father, we come to expect an expectation, Lord God, of mighty change. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you, Lord God. And Lord, we just love you, Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. And now I know I love you and I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. You're my Savior, my closest friend, and I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you. I love you and I need you. Although my world, and I'll never let you go. You're my Savior, my my closest friend. Oh, Jesus. And though my world may fall, and I'll never let you go. I won't see my husband burial site today. And it was so hard to sit there and look up and knowing that his body is in that place, something I'm not used to. But even in the midst of, Jesus is still the love of my soul. I hurt bad. Nobody knows my hurt. And I hate to sound selfish, but all day to day I talk to people and they call me and they say they sorry for my loss. I'm just tired of hearing it. I'm tired of hearing it. You don't know what I lost. Nobody knows what I lost. I love each and every person that supported my family in this, but this is a hard journey. It's hard to wake up every morning and the person you see every morning is not there. So I went to the funeral home today, and I had to sign some papers because where his plot is at, they were saying, you know, I'm officially, I'm the owner of that plot. And it's like, man, even when you die, you still have to sign papers. Even when you die, you still have to sign papers. And it hurt so bad. So the guy, he asked, he said, what you want to put on his headstone? Because they finna put his headstone up. And they say you can make it personal. You could put from your beloved wife or whatever. You know, whatever you feel you want to put on there. And I put on there. He said, you can use 4 words. And I told him, with Jesus. That's where he's at. Amen. So it's not that I'm being selfish and, you know, people call me and they want to talk. I just don't want to talk. I don't mean to be mean. I don't mean to be hateful, but I just don't want to talk right now. You know, I get phone calls. I get texts. I get texts from his phone. I have my phone, and I just don't answer them. And if I do answer them, I'm dry with it. You don't know what I feel. You know what I'm saying? You don't know. But I can say this. In the midst of all that has happened, he gets the glory. The Lord gets the glory. Because I went and talked to a fellow person I worked for. And I went in there and I was like, I just need somebody to talk to. And they explained to me, and I shared this with Brother Clark last night, they explained to me there's 2 things that you have to understand about life. He said, even though you lost your husband, he said, all that was in God's plan. He said, but in the midst of that being in God's plan, whatever has happened has to mend the people that surrounded him. He said, so don't think it's about you, because it's not about you. It's the people that was around him. And I was like, huh? He's like, yeah. He said, you was to help me. He said, but your husband, he did a work. He said, I don't know, out of all the work that he's done, how many out of that work you got a negative response? And I was like, I didn't get no negative response. Every response I got was he met people on Facebook and how he encouraged them, how his message set forth in people's hearts, how people's lives changed. And when he passed, people's lives really changed. I'm still talking to people about the conversations that my husband had with these people, and they would call him and he would pray with him. That's the kind of person you want to be connected. Somebody that will pray for you when you really need prayer. Amen. And I thank God for the people that my husband was involved in, was around, because those people are still connected to me. They're making sure I have what I need. They're making sure that our house is together. They're making sure we got transportation. With no strings attached. You see what I'm saying? So my husband had a lot of people that he impacted while he was here. And that's a joy, because, you know, we sit back and we go to these funerals, and in these funerals, they got all this good stuff to say. But the person that didn't live a good life, the person's life wasn't good like they say it is, but they'll say these things to make that person, you know, be a good person, in other words. But I'm proud to say that the things that were said in the comments that came back, even from the obituary and that was on a newspaper ad, people loved him. And people loved what he gave. So if you encounter any type of relationship with him, Facebook, met him out in the street, anywhere, it's going to stay with you. I went to the store today, and it's like me and him tag team. When we go, we get out the car and we get gas, we would tag team and find somebody in the parking lot and go witness to him. And today I went to bring my kids to go get something to drink, and I was sitting in a truck and was scared to get out the truck. I couldn't do it. It's like my best bud is gone. You know what I'm saying? But God said, you still have to do it. You can't stop doing my work just because of that. He taught you how to do it. He showed you how to do it. So you still have to do my work. You know what I'm saying? So in the midst of saying that, God is a good God. And we have to learn the ways of God. And Nathaniel knew the ways of God. Amen. And that's why I'm going to give you this word that I'm going to, that God has given me to give to each and every person that's listening, and also those that's in the house, including myself. Go to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16 through 19 is where we're going to go. And I'm going to break this down into series because it's a lot that we're going to talk about in the midst of this. And I forgot to say this. To Sister Lois and Sister Kendra, I apologize because I didn't do Blog Talk Radio this Monday. But, you know, I just didn't. Yeah, I forgot about that. And I apologize to y'all because I know y'all get excited about the Blog Talk Radio, but I just didn't have it. Yeah, I mean, a word tape. I'm sorry. I just didn't have it. Yeah, I didn't have it in me. And it really hit. And it's really hit me bad. But. And I know y'all understand because that was your brother and your son. But I had to apologize to let y'all know that because I didn't call y'all. I didn't say anything. But I apologize for that. But God brought me in this direction. I'm like, well, God, why are you bringing me in this direction? And it's like, because he finna do something. But in order for him to do these things, we have to understand that we got to be equipped. We have to be in the image of God. And talking to the person I talked to yesterday, he really encouraged me because I used to work for him. And he was so happy to see me. But he told me, he said, Raquel, he said, I just couldn't come to you and say sorry for your loss. He said, I had to wait till God tell me it was time for me to come to you and console you. He said, but I'm here for you. Whatever you need, I'm here for you. You know, and talking to him, he gave me scripture, and he said, when you're going through situations, you got to understand the situation first that you're going through. Then you got to accept the situation that you've been put through. He said, now you got understanding on this side, and you got accept on that side. He said, but in the middle, in order to accept and understand it, you got to have faith. And I looked at him and I say, huh? He said, that's all right, baby. I got you. He said, I got you. He said, but the situation you're going through is not a bad situation. It's a learning process. But you got to understand why God did what he did. He has a plan. And then you got to accept that plan. And in order for to accept that plan, you have faith. He said, so right now your faith is gone. He said, you don't have no faith. He said, not saying that you're not a Christian. You just don't have the faith. He said, because if you had faith, you would understand why God said, Nathaniel, come home. And he said, then you would understand and accept that he's going home to be with the Lord. I said, oh, glory. Ain't that something? So I was like, man, you know, that's a good thing to share with the people, to let them know. It doesn't matter what the situation is. We all going to go through something. We all going to lose somebody. Amen. We're going to lose somebody. But we got to understand why. And then we got to accept it. But the only thing that's going to keep us with the strength is faith. We got to have faith. But if you sit and you listen to what Pastor would minister to us and what was said to us, he always talk about the foundation of faith. We got to have faith.
We gonna hurt, we gonna mourn, we gonna cry, we gonna laugh. He said, but I'm gonna tell you this here. Remember the good times that you and your husband had. He said, remember those things. He said, now Satan don't want you to remember those. He wants you to remember the bad stuff. He said, but block the bad stuff out. He said, but understand what God really wants from you. There's a plan. And the plan is not just for you. It's for everybody that surrounded him. Everybody that surrounded Pastor Nathaniel LaCour got a connection. That's right. And that's what my sister and I was going to do. We was going to get a memory thing, but it was going to be in a puzzle. But we didn't get a chance to get it done. And everybody that he came in contact to, they would have had an opportunity to put that puzzle together, and it was going to form him. But we don't want to put the focus on him. You see what I'm saying? We want to put the focus on Jesus Christ. Because what we have to understand is that each and every one of us has a time to die. Tomorrow is not promised to none of us. It's not promised. That's why I sit back and I think my husband would say, you better pray. Now, you just done got mad with me. You better go pray before the Lord because you don't know if you're going to wake up. Now I understand why he said that. You see what I'm saying? It's very important that we love the things of God. And in Proverbs 6, we're going to talk about what God hates. Amen? Because in order for us to continue to walk, in order for us to do what God is causing us to do, we got to understand that God has something that he doesn't like in us and the things that we do that he don't want us to do. Amen? So in order for us to know that, we got to understand the concept, okay? Then once the concept is given to you, then you got to decide if you want to accept the concept, all right? So, now hold up. There's another puzzle to the after the accepting. Then you're going to start believing, and then that faith is going to rise up, and guess what? Then you're going to be in Christ where he wants you to be. You see what I'm saying? So when he broke that down, you know, he didn't break that part, but when I started reading my scripture, I was like, okay, I'm understanding what he meant when he said, accept faith. You got to understand what God is doing and why he's doing it. And then you got to pull it into action. Say like Pastor say, it's an action word. You know, let's see you do something. Amen? And then the faith is going to rise up. And then you're going to go ahead on and you're going to do what you're supposed to do. Amen? But we're going to go ahead on into the text because I'm not going to hold you because you know I've been kept y'all here about 2 hours. But we're going to go ahead and from the last time. But I ain't going to stay here for 2 hours. Somebody like hit me up or something. But anyway, we hate the things that threatens the well-being of the things we love. Because a lot of people say, well, why are you saying hate? The Lord don't like us to use hate. But guess what? He hated some things. He hated some things that was done. Amen? It's how you use the word hate. Okay? But let me share this with you. Okay? In Proverbs 6, verse 16, it says, These six things do the Lord hate. Ye seventh are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. 18 says, a heart that divides wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Amen? We're going to break them down. I'm going to break them down for you. Break them down for you. Okay? It's basically like this here. He hates certain things, okay? And we're going to examine those seven things that we just read about, okay? Proverbs, you don't need to go to it, but Proverbs 8:13 says that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Amen? It's to hate evil. One aspect of fear of the Lord is to love what God loves and to hate what God hates. It might sound cruel,
But in order to fear the Lord, you got to love what he loves and you have to hate what he hates. If we align our lives with God and his truth, we will hate what he hates. So hate's not a bad word, depending on how you use it. So we're going to understand tonight what God is saying when he say he does, he hates the things that this world does. Amen. We as Christians, we fall. I fall. I ain't going to stand up and tell you I don't fall. And when I fall, I realize that, hey, look, man, God hates this. This is not what God wants for me to do. This is not what God wants me to be. What am I going to do about this situation? Amen. We as Christians, we even those that are not Christians, okay, we as Christians need to have a fear of God. We really need to have a fear of God. And that is what's holding us up from letting God do the work in us and making a change in us, is that we don't fear him anymore. There used to be a time when people would say, oh, I said a cuss word. Oh, let me ask God to forgive me. I'm talking about right in the instance they would do that. They feared the Lord. You know, they had a fear of him. Nowadays, it's like, okay, I said it and that's it. It doesn't matter. I'll just repent later. You know what I'm saying? God does not like that in us. If we're going to be in the image of God, we have to live in the image of God. We're going to have to represent in the image of God. Amen? So you got to understand what he's telling us in order to accept it, and then faith will arise, and then you will live it. Amen? That's what we stuck at. Stuck in the understanding it, but we don't want to accept it. So that's why it's hard for us, for the faith to step in. You see what I'm saying? So we get stuck in a crossfire. And we'll say, okay, well, I did this yesterday. I drank this beer yesterday. I'm going to go ahead and drink it tomorrow. I'm going to be all right. You see what I'm saying? But then we get to the point where you say, you know what I did, it's not right. You see what I'm saying? You got to understand what he's saying. These are the things that he does not like. So in order to, for that faith to build up, we got to accept change. We got to come to the Lord and say, look, I need change. I can't do this by myself. I need you to change me, Lord. We got to stop being so boastful and saying, okay, there's nothing wrong with me at all. I have no flaws. I have no faults. I have nothing. Okay, you just thought something bad about 5 minutes ago. You know what I'm saying? If I'd have came up here with some black leather pants on some high heel shoes, you'd have been thinking about something then. You see what I'm saying? We got to understand that we got to stop saying we are Christians and then we don't live as Christians. You understand what's being told to you, but you're not accepting to where that faith can rise up and make a change in each and every one of us. Amen? So it's not that, you know, when somebody come up here, you know, I've always said, I say this all the time. When God give you a word, that word should deal with that person who's giving it. It really should. It should. And like I told this lady that came to the house, and she and I was talking, and I was asking her, you know, about, because I know her walk, to help me in the ministry with pastoring and stuff like that. And like I told her, I said, this pulpit, no, anybody can't come up here and minister. They can't do it. And if you come up here, just like God said, he hates the things of the world, the pulpit the same way. If I got to type it on here and put it on here. So every time you read a scripture, you will see it. Amen. Don't act like you more than somebody else. I can't act like I'm more than this sister here. You see what I'm saying? Because I got something in me that she don't know. And she got something in her that I don't know. Amen? We got to learn to say, hey, God, I know you don't like this here. Because he's telling you he don't like a proud look. He say lying tongue. He say hands that shed blood. That's people who kill people. And it's innocent people. Heart that divides wicked imagination. I mean, you're sitting down thinking about what you're going to do to somebody. But you say you are a Christian. None of these things that we just read should be part of a Christian's life. It shouldn't. It should not be a part of your life. It shouldn't be a part of your life. A false witness that speaketh lies. That means you're telling lies on somebody that you don't even need to be telling. Just because you want to be seen in the realm, the public realm. You see what I'm saying? You got to stop. We got to stop doing that. But because the pastors and the ministers, they get up here and they preach and they don't want to preach the things that we need to understand and should be able to accept so that faith can rise up and so that we can live according to the word of God, that's why so many people are going to hell. Because they worried about, let me fill my pockets first because I need to give me a brand new car. So I don't care about your soul. Your soul don't mean nothing to me. You could die right now. It just don't matter to me. That's wrong. That's wrong. If somebody do something wrong unto you, let me tell you something. When my husband exposed this to me, if I did something to somebody, I'm going to tell you I'm sorry. If you like it or not, I'm still going to tell you I'm sorry. I may have walked in the building, I spoke to you, passed by you, and forgot you was there. I still will tell you I'm sorry. Amen? God say, and I was reading this today, if I expose you openly, and everybody in here know about it, how I'm supposed to fix it? Don't answer the question. You see what I'm saying? If I sit here and toot my nose up at you, how is it supposed to be fixed? See, we sit in the church house and we hear the words being ministered, but we understanding what's being said, but are we accepting it so that faith can rise up and then we can live like the Lord wants us to live? A church cannot be plentiful if you got dead folks in it, or dead bones, I'm going to say. Amen? It's not going to rise up because God is not going to trust you with the people that's coming in. If somebody walk in here right now and they don't have no decent clothes on, but we dress to the T, how you going to accept that person into the house of the Lord? Are you just going to sit there because they not dress appropriate to your standards? Or are you going to go and love on them? That's what the church got a problem with. We don't know how to love one another. We got to change our mindset. And we got to stop thinking that it's all about me, myself, and I. It's not about you. God sees everything that each and every one of us in here do. Those that's listening over Blog Talk Radio, God sees it. God knows it. God writes it down. Lamb Book of Life is that. You say you're a Christian, he writing it down. He writing it down. We got to stop pretending that we love one another. I was like, God, why you give me this? Because I said, Lord, because I told that woman I don't want to hear all that. You start thinking like, I just got off the phone, the woman called me to giving me condolences. I don't want to hear that no more. Give me some joy. Give me something to feed my spirit. Give me something that's going to help me get over the next hump. You see what I'm saying? Don't call me with the sobbing stories. I'm sorry for your loss. I didn't have a loss. I didn't have a loss. My husband going to be with the Lord. That's where he always wanted to be. That's not a loss. Amen. And guess what? Everything that I'm telling you here, a proud look, that was not, he didn't do that. A lying tongue, he ain't lying. hands that shed innocent blood, he ain't do that. A heart that devised wicked imagination, he ain't do that either. Feet that swift in running to mischief, he ain't do that either. A false witness that speaking lie, you know he ain't do that. And he that sowed discord among his brethren never did it. He never did it. And if he knew you was involved, he was going to get on with you. That's the type of preacher he was. So I say, you know what, Lord? It hurt, the little thing. It do hurt. I'm not going to tell you it don't hurt. But if I come back and read that word, I get encouragement. You see what I'm saying? So if you want to call me and you want to sympathize with me or you want to give your condolences, just give me the word. Don't give me the sorry for your loss. I didn't have a loss. I didn't have a loss. I'm trying to see how I could take my van and throw it in some water so I could lose that. But it's too late. The flood gone. That's a loss. You hear what I'm saying? That's a loss. Take it and drive it up down the street in somebody's water that's still there and say, I done lost my vehicle. That's a loss. But when you talk about a soul that loved the Lord, that's not a loss. Yeah, we're going to have some bad days. Yeah, we're going to have some good days. But guess what? It's all because of the glory of God. So everything that I just given you out of Proverbs 6:19, apply it to your life. Do a checklist and see where you stand. Do a checklist and ask yourself, am I in any one of these categories that Sister Raquel just raised? Because I found myself in one of them. I ain't going to lie to you. I found myself in one of them. And you think if God stand here before me right now and he know that I done did it, you think I'm, oh, Lord, you know what I'm saying? It ain't no backing out, ain't no backing up. You done did it. You see what I'm saying? So that's the thing that we have to understand, that we do things that the next person don't know we done done. We done thought things that the next person don't know we done thought. And we too embarrassed to say, I'm sorry for what I did. It ain't hard to do. It ain't hard to do. Just the way you expose somebody, that's the way you got to fix it. You got to fix it the same way. I read it today in the Bible. You cannot go to a person and say you sorry for what you've done in secret, but you exposed it in the public. You can't do that. And when I read that, I was like, for real, Lord? Who said that, Paul? Can't do it. You can't do it. And when I read that, I was like, my God. Just the way you expose, that's how you got to go back and fix it. In order for God to say, I forgive you. That's how, that is in the word. So if I get in, I tell you my mother-in-law, I can't even say nothing about her. So what I'm about to say is a lie, because I can't say nothing. You know what I'm saying? I can't say nothing about it, and I'm not even going to stand up here and lie, because there's nothing I can say about it. You see what I'm saying? But if I was to lie on her in secret, in my thought, that's what I mean when I say in secret. You're doing it in your thought, in your mind, because she don't know what you're saying. You need to go back to her, and you need to say, she ain't got to know what it is you said. But you need to go and tell her, look, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I said. God don't like that. He don't like his Christians to act like that toward the brethren. He don't like that. If he's going to tell you, give you six things and then give you a seventh one that is abomination, then what you think he going to do when you leave, when you die? I ain't got no bottle caps, huh? Yeah. Y'all know where I'm going with that. Them body caps, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, right. In order for God's house to flourish, for things to manifest, when people come into the door, You don't know what somebody's going through. We got to have an open ear and an open mind to other people's needs. We got a lot of displaced people here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We got a lot of people that stay in places that they're not used to staying. But let me say something about that. I live on Prescott. And we were about to leave to go stay in a shelter. We had our bags packed and everything. We were walking in the water, going down the street, getting ready to catch the bus to go to the shelter. And the Lord said, go back home. So the lady said, well, where you going, Miss Raquel? You just lost your husband. Where you going? I said, you know what? I just lost my husband, but God didn't say I was going to lose this house. I said, I'm going back. I told my kids, I said, come on, let's go back. So the little girl said, ah, y'all, I'm going with y'all. The little girl was coming with us. Oh, but we ain't taking no extras. We going back, though. So we went back to the house. Lanier is on one end. Dickens is on another end. I got outside. The next morning, the water was rising. And I walked the yard and I prayed. I said, God, I just lost my husband. I know he in a good place. I said, but I can't take all this here at one time. I can't take it. I need help. I got up that morning and I prayed. I walked the yard while everybody was walking down the street trying to do this and trying to get their stuff and move and all this other stuff. I stayed put. I be stilled. That's right. The water rise, and the furthest the water came is to the driveway, that line that you got to cross over to come into the driveway. The water didn't go no further for 2 days. 2 days. Everybody else around us from the beginning of the street went under the water. Everybody from this end of us went underwater. I had just told my neighbor, my husband had a dream that Baton Rouge had a flood. Everybody around us flooded except for the houses that was connected to us. My husband dreamed that. And sure enough, every house that was connected to Net, preaching the word of God and asking them, do they want to get saved, giving their life unto the Lord, their house was spared. Everybody that was connected to Nathaniel's house was spared. Did you get flooded? Did you get flooded? And you live in Gonzales. Did you get flooded? Did you get flooded? Did you get flooded? You did? But you're a visitor. That's all right. Stay connected. Stay connected. Stay connected. Amen. You see what I'm saying? But everybody that was connected to him and knew what he preached, which was truth, they didn't get flooded. Everywhere around. Think about it. Go back and look and see. Everybody that live around you, did they get flooded? Go back and look and see who you live by, did everybody, who all got flooded. You do the same thing and tell me, did the Lord spare your house? Because you had a praying pastor that was praying for each and every one of us every day. God's word is true. God's word is true. Now you say, what that song is, the preacher prayed for me, but he had me on my his mind. There you go. He prayed for me. He prayed for me. He prayed for me. Tell me prayer don't work. Prayer works. We got to learn to pray. You may have lost something, brother, but guess what? You ain't lose you. Because the stuff you lost, guess what? It's replaceable. Amen. And that's what I try to tell people. The stuff that you have in your house, if you look at all the stuff that these people got in their houses, you wouldn't believe it. People had some stuff. Them two chairs that sitting out there in the lobby, they come from off of their stuff. They come off their stuff. And ain't nothing wrong with them chairs. Susie and I clean them chairs and put them up here, and they look good. Didn't they look good in the lobby? Praise God. You see what I'm saying? Other people's stuff is our treasure. Amen? Amen? God wants us to understand his concept. And then he wants us to accept it. Once we accept it, then the faith is going to rise up. When faith rise up, guess what? Nobody can't tell you nothing. Because you know what you know. You know who the I am is. You know who he is. You know how he provides. You know how he consoles. You know how he delivers. You know how he heals. Amen? Do you believe it, though? See, that's the problem. We don't want to believe that we have a God that's always on our side 24-7. 24-7. But because we don't want to understand the concept and accept the concept, that's when the faith is just there. Faith got to come up. It say faith of a mustard seed, huh? A mustard seed is small. Very small. The Bible talk of many miracles that happen. Look at Job. Job went through a lot. But he had faith that kept him going in the midst of all of this that's going on. The flood, he had faith. Amen? And God still gave him more. He had to go lie to FEMA. He had to go lie to the insurance company. He had to go lie to the food stamp people. You see what I'm saying? He trusted God. And God gave it to him more and abundantly. And that's what we have to understand. Yeah, your situations is horrible. It's horrible. Our situations is garbage. Mine is garbage. I got a leaky ceiling. I got to get somebody to come fix that. You know what I'm saying? But guess what? I ain't worried about it. I'm not worried about it. God said, cast your burdens unto me. He didn't say, cast your burdens unto the pastor. He didn't say, cast your burdens unto the elders. He said, cast it unto him. He is the deliverer. He is the healer. He is the one that can take you from down and bring you up. But do you believe that? We got to learn the things that God hates. And then if we learn what God hates, then we can move forward and accept it. And then the faith is going to rise up. It's going to rise. I started not to come to Bible study tonight because I was so heavy. Sitting at the site, at my husband's site, I was just so heavy. And God said, how you want me to use you if you don't want to do nothing? You're good to tell other people how to deal with situations, but you can't deal with them. So how I'm going to trust you with my word to give to somebody out there that need it, but then you don't want to receive it? You ain't understanding, and you sure not accepting it. Everything that's been taken away, I allow, Job, I allow the devil to do whatever he want to do in your life. Anything, Job, anything the devil wanted to do, Job, he could have done it. But God loved Job enough and told the devil, but you can't kill him. So if God loved Job enough to tell Satan, you could do whatever you want to do, because see, whatever he did to Job, it was a test. It was something you had to go through. Because you might have bought you a big 60-inch television to watch the football game. You probably bought you a big old nice pit to barbecue some ribs. I got that in the freezer too. You know what I'm saying? You might have put you a nice surround system in that car. Guess what? All that went underwater. But God's saying, I want you to love me, not what's in that car. I want you to love me, not what's on that wall that you got that big 60-inch. All that is stuff. God hates the things of this world. Why he hates the TV? Because so much garbage is put on the TV that's taking our mind away from God. It pulls you from him. It gets you to the point where you don't sit down, you don't read, you don't study, you don't have a prayer life, you don't even have a relationship with God. That's what that 60-inch does. You see what I'm saying? The radio in the car? I can tell you about that, too. I done fell victim to that, too. It have you playing all kind of stuff on that. Ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. And then you find yourself depressed and miserable. I'm going to tell you, I was like that a couple of days ago. Listen to that music. That music had me so weeping and crying, I almost died myself. I got to the house. I said, no. This is Lord.
Bring me back to the gospel trail. I can't do this here, though, but God had to deal with me. You see what I'm saying? So I can't stand up here and tell you I'm better than you, brother, because I ain't better than you. You might walk in here, you might see me down. Guess what? I need love. Who's on there? I need love. That was LL Cool. No, that was whoever. I don't need that kind of love. Yeah, I don't need that kind of love. But I need brotherly love. You know that's what I'm saying? You know? But we got to understand what the word is saying. And then we got to accept it in order for the faith to build up. So when we go through the losing of the car, the losing of the house, the losing of the 60-inch, we got enough faith to say, guess what? God got me. God going to replenish all that, and I don't have to lie. You see what I'm saying? Because see, when you lie, which is one of these that he said, is it not? It's in his word. I just read it to you. When you lie, God hate it. He hate that. He don't like when we lie. He don't like that. I'm trying to see what a lying tongue. Here it is. A lying tongue simply involves willingly making statements that are false. You will find a person just telling a lie, constantly telling a lie. Everything come out their mouth is a lie. Say, like my husband say, your track record bad. I'm like, why are you telling people that? Baby, their track record bad. I say, why you do that? Because the same thing they just told you, they're going to go out and do the same thing again. They lying. So they're going to come back, they're going to do it again. They track record bad. So then you're going to come in here and try to tell me something, but I can't trust you because your track record ain't no good. You see what I'm saying? Let's be real. Let's be real. So don't get mad when somebody tell you something or when somebody sees something in you. Don't get mad and somebody say, okay, I just don't believe nothing you saying because last week you told me the same thing and nothing happened. So you lied. And then you're coming back telling me another story. What makes you think I'm going to believe you this time? You're lying. We do these things. We understand that this is something God hates for us to do. But then we don't accept the obligation that God is going to deal with us when we do that. So that's why faith cannot rise up, and that's why we can't live for the Lord and do what he wants us to do. And when somebody come in here that does have a lying spirit, we can't detect it or discern it because we lying. You get what I'm saying? You got to look at the track record. You got to look at the track record. I learned a lot from Mr. Nathaniel. I ain't gonna lie. God, I learned some stuff. And I thank God for it. He who speak truth tell what is right. But a false witness is going to, he going to tell deceit. Everything is going to be a lie. God don't like that. He hate that. He hate that. I'm going to touch on this, and then after that, we're going to close. Well, I'm going to touch on two things. A heart that deceives, that despises wicked plans. The heart is the command and the control, is the center of a person, okay? Your heart, okay? And we tend to make decisions because of how we feel. I've done it before. If I feel this kind of way, I ain't doing it. If I feel that kind of way, forget you. Being a child of God and being a Christian, you can't do that. It's like a book. It's like the Bible. The Bible say, okay, I'm going to give you this manual. The Lord say, I'm going to hire you to work for me. But in order for you to work, start working, get your paycheck, I need you to read this Bible. The first thing you're going to say, Lord, you crazy. That's a lot to read. Because he's giving you the Bible to understand what he wants you to do on the job that he's finna give you. Okay? Then once you read the manual, then you're going to apply it and accept it and say, okay, you better go get that tattoo, Lord, with that name on it. You better go get them piercings put in your nose. You better not go out there and get that man's murder. You know what I'm saying? Come on, let's be real. Let's be real, because see, if we be real, then God can, he can use us how he want to use us. And then you might be a blessing to somebody who done lost a brother. You might be a blessing to somebody who done lost a son. I might be a blessing to somebody who done lost a husband. You may be a blessing to somebody who done lost they stuff. All of us have something in us that God can use to help somebody else out. But we look at our situation as, man, I'm going through. You ain't going through nothing you ain't supposed to be going through. It's God's plan. You just got to understand what you're supposed to do with it. If you read what the Word of God says, you'll know what to do. Then you'll start accepting it. Then the faith is going to rise. And guess what? That light going to shine. Yeah, Satan, you got me on this one. But guess what? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm finna move on. You see what I'm saying? And it was hard for me to come up here and minister this word because I was like, Lord, I don't know. I just don't feel up to doing this here. This ain't. He said, you don't work for you. You work for me. And I was like, okay, well put. I ain't saying no more. I'm going to church. I'm going to church. So the person who let me use their truck, where you going? I'm going to church. Oh, I ain't gonna fool with you. Go to church. Go wherever you need to go. I'm going to church. But I left so late in the way that I went. Oh, they got some traffic over here, boy. You got to leave like at 2:30 to get over here. I was like, I ain't used to this. There's too many people. It's like Hurricane Katrina. They got to go. Y'all should have sent them to Texas. Oh, shut. Lord have mercy. There's too much traffic. I know people done lost their stuff, but God, dog, I need to get to church. You know? One who spreads strife among the brethren. This will allow conflict in the world itself, in your family, in your household, in the workplace where you work at, in the church. This is so true. One who speaks strife among brethren magnifies such conflict and causes disunity. Meaning that you cause a division. So you will cause it everywhere you go, in your household, in your family, at your job, at church. It's a church. And that's true. Because you're saying something you ain't got no business saying. Keep your mouth off of people. Because guess what? The very person you put your mouth on, I guarantee you, now, I ain't got no witchcraft, and I don't do that kind of stuff. But I guarantee you, God going to expose you later on down the line. And he going to let your stuff manifest. Because you're going to cause it to manifest. And that's what we got to understand in the Word of God. We got to stop shooting discord among the brethren. That's where it's bad at. It's in the church. It's in the church. We know better. We should know better. We should know better. So if you don't get nothing out of this word tonight, evaluate yourself. Do a checklist and ask God, Lord, let me see where I fall at. Because I'm going to tell you, I fell in one of them. And I'm like, oh, Lord, let me put this up. Put this up. Yeah, it's me. You know what I'm saying? I ain't afraid to tell you. It's me. Let me get rid of this y'all. Lord said, no. So be mindful. When you witnessing to somebody, or when you giving somebody the word of God, ministering, pastoring, evangelizing, working, just on a job, be mindful what you say to people. Because I can't tell you, don't go drink, and I drink, especially if I'm not delivered from it. I can't tell you, don't smoke when I'm smoking. You'll know if I'm smoking. That asthma been going to choke me up in here. Because me and his asthma is fighting. You know what I'm saying? If you don't do nothing else when you leave out of here tonight, let the Lord show you. Because once God show you,
then you're going to start understanding what he wants. Then you will start accepting. And once you accept, then a change is going to come. And then he's going to rise. That faith is going to come up to where you're just going to say, thank you, Jesus. We got to learn that. We got to stop coming to the church house and say, okay, I'm coming to get the word. The word was good. But then there's no conviction or there's nothing to deal with our heart about it. Because to me, if you come to church and you're not getting nothing from it and there is nothing penetrating your heart to make you sit and think and say, you know what, man, I got to reevaluate myself. You didn't get nothing from it. We about to close. We ain't getting nothing from it. So that's why I thank God for when he give me a word to give to his people. It helps me too. Because all of us need to change. Because we're going to get in that car right now or get in that truck, get right here to the end. You on Gardea Lane. Now, let me explain. We on Gardea Lane. These people, some of these people ain't say about you. So if you walk up by day in your car trying to get over to the other side, they'll run you over. And then what, you finna cuss them out. Come on now. Humbleness. We're going to talk about that. That's coming up. How to humble yourself in certain situations. How to keep your mouth closed in certain situations. But in order to learn what humbleness is and what is expected from you with humbleness, you got to understand the word of God. And then you got to accept that, oh, Lord, I'm not humble. I'm wretched. And then when you start seeing that and you start accepting that, that's when the faith is going to rise up and that's when God is going to make a change in each and every one of us. And that's what we want. Amen. So I pray that this has blessed each and every one of you to read his word and understand his word. Accept it once you understand it. And then let faith rise above and God light shine among the midst of people. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet.
I will lift my voice. I will praise you.
I want to thank everybody that still come and support the ministry. Hallelujah. Because we here. But we're going to stand tonight and we're going to ask God to forgive us of everything that we have done or anything we have done that fell in line with what we read tonight. And we're going to ask him to have his way to show us so we can understand his word, his true word, and that we can accept his word and so that faith can rise above. Hallelujah. And that a change be made among each and every one of us. Father God, we come to you tonight, Lord God. We just want to thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the word that was brought forth, Lord God. And Father, we ask that you continue to use us mightily, Lord God. Rise us up, Lord God. Be soldiers for you, Lord God. Father, we just thank you and we just praise your mighty name, Lord God. But, Father, we need you right now, Lord God. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of anything we've done that is not in your will, Lord God. And we ask that you clean our heart, Lord God. Cleanse our body, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you and we praise your mighty name, Lord God. Father, we say, have your way. Have your way, Lord God. Give us more of you, Lord God. Father, we know that your timing is very, very near, Lord God. And, Father, we want to be ready when you come. And, Father, we just ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you keep your hand and your angels over each and every person that's in this house. Those that are listening over Blog Talk Radio, Lord God, I pray that there be someone that gets delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we just love you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.